I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories.
Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. It was an absolute delight to sit down with Lydia Bowser. She is a working mom, kindness advocate, and uplifter of others. Lydia's passion to build strong relationships to enhance the overall quality of other people's lives is what we need more of. Whether using her professional position to empower and mentor women, or at home with her two young girls, Lydia is showing up as a beacon of light, showing us the way. Please welcome Lydia Bowser. Hello, Lydia. It's good to have you today.
Hi, Susan. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm so happy to see you and catch up and be able to have today, right?
So great. So
talk,
awesome.
For sure. So, you know, the reason that I wanted to sit down and chat with you is because you are, in my mind and eyes, this really powerful and brave and courageous woman in business and in life. I know that about you. And I just felt that you have such a great story and great, a lot of greatness to share. And I just knew that by us sitting down to talk together, it would be super for my listeners to get words of wisdom and learn more about some of the amazing people that are out there paving the way. And so thank you for agreeing.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm very excited to share my stories and hopefully they resonate with someone else. As you remember, the one thing you said the first time we met in our networking group that has stuck with me, one of the few things that has stuck with me for over time, is that we find ourselves in other people's stories. And that's continued to give me inspiration throughout as well. So
I'm so glad you took that away. Yeah.
It's in my brain forever. And it comes up often.
Oh, that's so good to hear. I mean, it's in the tagline of the show, you know, and I think really where that comes from for me is like, that's how I figured myself out in my coming up, right? As a young person and as a young adult, it was just like, I was constantly like sort of searching, like, you know, who else shared something that I had, an experience I had, whether it was trauma related or whatever. It's like, you know, I tried to like figure out and put language to my own life. And I found myself doing that when others were sharing their stories. And I was like, yes, that's me too. You know? And so that was constantly happening. And then I looked around and I was like, well, yeah, that's how I think we learn. And I'm a pretty practical person. So, you know, I think storytelling is amazing. And I think that no matter how much we sit down and we learn in an academic setting, I think the world is really what shows us and mirrors for us what's true. So I'm glad that that resonated with you. I think it's pretty magical, but you're going to share information today and other people are going to say that. And I think that's wicked cool. So awesome. So some of the stuff that I love that you're doing in your own profession and in your own life is really like stepping up, and you're a leader in your own field, which you happen to be a woman working in the automotive field in Canada, you know, an area and industry that's been primarily dominated by men, continues to be, but not only, thankfully. And you encourage and really support other women in the industry as well as in general. So talk to me a little bit about that, because I know you had a keynote moment not long ago, and that must have been incredibly exhilarating.
It was scary, but I really kind of made a pact with myself to say yes to more of those types of scary things, because I have lots to share and I learned a lot from other people. So I want to be able to help provide that same experience for others. And I joined the automotive industry the second year of my career, so pretty early on. And it was a struggle, not just because I was a woman, but I also worked for a Korean company, which is a very challenging culture at the time. So navigating it myself, I was always working in small companies. So I didn't really have really big departments or a lot of people around me to learn from. I was kind of navigating in a lot of ways on my own. I had met some very key people along the way, but mostly trying to figure out on my own. I had, at the time there, I kept having leaders that were let go from the company. And with only 2 to 3 years experience, I was there running the whole department, trying to make things stay afloat. Wow. Just as a little coordinator. And so that really, I'm very thankful for that experience though, because I was escalated to being able to do more than most people would at that point in their career.
It fast tracked you. Let's
exactly.
face it. Yeah.
And so, and one thing too, my dad always told me he's a tool and die maker. And so he's worked in the automotive industry related to it, not at the OEM level, like myself. But he told me never to get into automotive. And I'm not sure if that was, he's experienced some interesting drama himself in the industry. And I'm not sure if it was because I was a woman or if it was because of the drama he experienced, but I did it anyway. And
because the way it goes.
Tells you not to do something, especially a parent, you're going to go do it anyway.
Right.
And so at the beginning though, I was very undeveloped in my maturity. Is that the right way to say it? And now that I can take a look back, I can really now see the path that I was on for my growth and now have an opportunity to be able to share how I did that with other people. And one of the biggest things is letting go of competitive feelings with others, especially other women.
Right.
I'm lucky I never really had that much with women. I've worked in small departments and seeing the value of just, there's no reason to not uplift every other person that you work with.
Right.
All
and have an abundance
people,
mindset, right?
Yeah.
And instead of a scarcity mindset, it's like,
exactly.
Wait, there's enough for all of us, right?
And especially women, because if I can help them realize the benefit of doing that themselves, and we create a whole environment, which we've kind of created at Hyundai, of just these women who are uplifting each other all day, all night, and it feels so good. And whether it's personal, whether it's work-related, if someone gets promoted or a great project or one of my teammates just found out she's expecting her second kid. And, we're just so excited for each other.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's what we all hope for. And I think that's the goal. And that's what everyone mm-hmm. has in mind that is on this, high or on this track of being supportive and lifting others up. Unfortunately, we don't always get to, I should take that back. We do get to see this, but I feel like we don't get to see it often enough.
Right.
It's happening more now, definitely. And it's a beautiful thing, but you're really living in it. And you've been a part of that culture that you have had a direct hand in creating. So, I mean, my goodness, like how lovely, really, how lovely.
And I think you can have that opportunity no matter what position you're in, what level, what industry. If you, one of the most important things is to make sure that you're not standing for the opposite behavior.
That's right.
Sometimes that means calling people out if you feel comfortable. Sometimes you're not always comfortable, but modeling that behavior, insisting others around you have that same behavior, removing people, maybe if it's in your personal life that don't match those values.
Right.
And then eventually, if you're in a position of influence, to insist that that's what's expected of people. And that's
right. And when you set the bar that high, it becomes a situation where, look, this is the criteria and this is the world in which we live in. It's not personal. It's actually, a structure that is just win-win for everyone. So either fit in or don't, that's perfectly fine, but it's a minimum requirement. Let's face
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it has to be a blend of all aspects of who we are and how we bring ourselves and present ourselves. Like you're celebrating, another child being born with one of your colleagues. And yeah, that's because we're not hiding any parts of ourselves anymore. Thankfully, in our professional space, it's nice to be able to be fully realized and fully human, no matter what.
We talked about this just before we started recording, and being able to lead me to these types of mindsets mm-hmm. Through my career was a lot of experience, but the personal story of what I went through when I was younger through an abusive relationship, it was mentally, not physically, thankfully. And I was not the type of person that I knew that I could be or that I wanted to be.
Was that a conflict? So you're going to tell us that story, but let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Were you already living and breathing in this professional space as a strong and encouraging woman to others, but then you had what almost felt like a secret at home? Was there a direct conflict still?
Somewhat. I was still developing.
You're still developing. On the career side.
I was kind of mid-level. I knew that I wanted to grow into executive levels and be that type of influencer. Eventually in my career, that's what I'm working towards. And so it was kind of on the way there.
Okay.
And so at the same time, I'm trying to figure myself out in my work environment. Like, what's my place? How can I achieve what I want to achieve? Am I doing the right things? I'm questioning everything. And then at the same time, I have a marriage at home that shouldn't have happened, but you know, ultimately I am where I am now and it led me there. So I'm not going to say I have any regrets, but, and it's really hard to pinpoint what, you know, it's everything you see around you, the way that you grow up and you see other people living their lives, that you have this, you have this expectation that this is how life is supposed to go. You finish school, you get a job, you get married, you have kids. You know, should I have kids before I was 25? Like, I had all these things in my head that I thought, and I don't even know exactly where they came from, because I think it happens to all of us. We just have this thing on our shoulders. It's like, if I don't reach these milestones, then I'm not living my life right, which is completely insane now to me to think about, because everybody has a different path no matter what. Even if you think they look like they have one path, we know that what's behind the curtain could be completely different. And so we need to be more accepting of that. But that's what I found myself in. So I had met this gentleman at my part-time job in university. It escalated very quickly. We moved in, proposed. So I'm like, oh, great. Check, check, check. I'm getting these things checked off my list. I get to plan a big wedding. I was 24 when I got engaged. I got married when I was 25, which I thought was the perfect age. I have no idea why.
Right. Well, you had it in your mind. It was like, oh, it's falling into place.
And within the next 2 years, it's not that it changed after we got married. It was probably just more of the same, but I started growing an intolerance to it. You know, I was realizing that this is not the type of person I want to grow up to be. You know, I'm not as, I think I could be a nicer person. I think I could, he was also holding me back a bit in my career because he didn't like me being out of the house. He didn't like me if I had to work late. He didn't like anything about it. He wanted me all to himself, mm-hmm. Which I think is pretty selfish. So I think you can really encourage your partners to be able to achieve what they want to achieve, even if it means it's separate from you, so that you can live fulfilling lives together. And you come back home together and you talk about it and you celebrate each other. Right. I tried to leave many times, and it's tough when I was that age at the stage I was, and some mental manipulation going on. But at one day it just got to a point where it's like, that's it, this is it. And I left. And it was really, really tough. Lots of guilt. You know, my dad helped pay for a wedding. Sorry, Dad. He knows I was very upset about that particular part when I told him. I was afraid to tell him at the time. And I had some people, even close family friends, you know, like, that you can't give up on a marriage. You have to try. I'm like, you don't even know what I've done to try.
Right.
And so that was really upsetting, because you get all this extra weight that just gets thrown on you from all these people, that I just had to push out of my mind and just work on myself. And that it worked out fairly well that my parents were living out of the country for work, but they had a home here near my work at the time. So I had this condo to myself, which was a really great thing. My sister came over and she went in to visit and that kind of stuff. But it was nice to just have this space to go to by myself, so I could really figure out, like, okay, what's the next step forward? And that meant a lot of work on, you know, putting a lot of time into my career, because I knew that has always been and still is very, very important to me, which now that I'm a mom is a whole different thing. But at the time, and then trying to figure out, what am I going to do in my personal life? And it just so happened I reconnected with one of my high school boyfriends. And now we've been back together for 9 years. We have a house and two daughters. And so it worked out really well. One of the things that had happened after I had left was that my family members and even some friends had told me, oh, we never liked your husband.
That's interesting when you hear that, right?
Yeah. A few of my friends, for sure. I was probably suspected that they didn't like him, because they saw more of how he was around me than my family. So one of the biggest things I tell to other people, And even myself, if I see it in other people, is if you see something that you don't like, or if a person or a behavior, you need to get the courage to be able to tell your friends and family these things, even though they may get mad at you. Sometimes it's worth it to try to help them along the way, which I had done before. Like my younger sister, you know, I'd given her my thoughts on a few things, and she'd, of course,
did she listen? Did she stop and sort of think about it? Okay.
Yeah, she actually, I remember her breaking up with someone almost the day I told her that he wasn't a good person for her. And I was so surprised. I'm like, I love my sisters. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I think you need to be able to tell more people those types of things.
You do. And the thing is, it's like, you know, I know that it took you a while, you know, being in like an emotionally abusive or a fearful relationship is really hard. It's hard to break free. There's a lot of that goes on for you, the fear of leaving or the guilt of leaving, or there's all sorts of things that get wrapped up in that. It's messy. It's not clean cut, but you did that.
What do you do with your mortgage? Like,
right. There's all sorts of parts. Yes, absolutely. And you have to, yes, there's so many different solves, and you know, you're overwhelmed and then possibly even frightened. There's a whole bunch of things that go on there, but you know, you got through that. You managed to break away and to, you know, just sort of gather yourself and have a lot of intelligence around sort of seeing those, I like to call them amber flags. There are those initial hints and those initial signs of this is not kosher. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so obviously passing that on to siblings and friends and stuff, but also when you feel like suddenly someone is either making you question yourself or making you feel chaotic inside, those are amber flags to me. It's not even just what they're doing. It's how they're leaving you feeling, I find. Yeah. And I read a meme recently, said something to the effect of, you know, you shouldn't be in a relationship that makes you feel like you're hard to love. Like, yes, you're not hard to love. You know what I mean?
And it's not the right one for you.
Yeah, it's not the right one for you. And that kind of just popped up in my mind thinking about this situation. And yeah, I mean, good for you for doing it earlier in than not, because I'll tell you something. We have women listening. We have women around, all around us who are still stuck.
Yeah.
And they are trying to figure out their options, and they are trying to build up the courage to take the leap out and onward, you know, and what we're doing is really trying to put out that message by constantly sharing our stories, sharing ourselves, making ourselves available so that they feel some sense of boldness. And they're able to believe that there is more and that it's going to be okay.
I feel like even if you're stuck in something like that, if you can open up to people close to you that you can trust, you'll be very surprised with how much they will want to help in a number of different ways, whether it's just listening. Like when I had left, I had no money in my bank account. I was lucky I had a place to stay, so that, you know, I'm very lucky for that. But my ex also wasn't paying his credit cards, and we had a joint bank account. So they started taking money out of my account, and I was in, you know, overdraft. And there are people who will help you, family, friends, with whatever you need, a place to stay. You know, I gave up all my stuff. I didn't take anything except for my personal effects. The first box I actually packed was my Christmas ornaments, because I have one for every year from the year I was born. And that's the most prized possession I had at the time.
Right.
And I left everything else, TV, furniture.
Who cares, right?
Exactly. And I didn't, you know, I didn't need any of that stuff. And
you're just saving your own life.
Exactly. So people will help you with all of that stuff if you let them in and let them know what you need.
I agree. And it's, you know, if there's shame involved, which sometimes there is, or, you know, there's all sorts of emotions that a person might feel, but I think you're right. I mean, just, you know, those one or two people that you really know you can trust, you'd be surprised. They're almost waiting. You know, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that your tribe of people or your couple of peeps that you had, they weren't surprised. You know, they were kind of,
you're right. There was one I called. I was going to pick up a few things, And something upset me, and I called up one of my friends and her husband, Amy and Jordan, and I've known them since we all worked together during that part-time job in high school, in university, and they came to pick me up right away. It was the best thing ever. Helped me with my bags. They knew.
Yeah. And that's what happens, you know? And so now, I mean, you know, it's many years later, obviously, and you have a completely different life and one you're insanely grateful for. And this is another reason why I always say, you know, regret is just a useless emotion. It's such a waste of time to look back and regret, because it really, everything kind of takes you to where you are now, which is really important, you know, because it's a growth cycle, let's face it. And you have, you know, totally different life, one that's full of joy and happiness and love and kindness, more importantly. And, you know, you're growing in this professional space. And so I want to just ask, you know, like who, you know, what influences or influencers were around you or did you look to? And was there any one in particular, whether it was a, you know, more of a well-known person or was it like reading? Was it, you know, what kind of sources did you have that gave you strength?
There's a lot, and they have changed throughout my progression.
Right.
You know, some have been let go, some have been new, and they're at all levels. It could be a new friend. It could be someone professional. You know, starting, you know, my dad was one for sure. He had three daughters growing up, but it's my mom too. You know, they never made us feel like we couldn't do anything because we were girls, which I feel, you know, back in the 80s was a good, we were lucky for that because that might not have been every single household.
Right.
And so that to start that, and I had a very caring grandmother that really was just, she was so daring and bold. It didn't matter, you know, she was the worst singer, but when we were out listening to a choir sing at Christmas, she just belted it out. And I was embarrassed at the time, being a little kid, but thinking back, I'm like, so she just did what she wanted to do, no holds barred, and didn't care what people thought about her. And I love that. And throughout my profession, you know, I've had a leader, you know, leaders in the past. One of my very first, Katrina Stevens, she continues to be, you know, even though we don't talk or see each other all the time now, and we've gone off on different paths, she was one of the really first professional people that made me think, okay, these people exist where they really want you to grow and they really want to help you. So she's always been someone I'll reach back out to if I need to, you know, some guidance and some questions and that kind of thing. But other leaders have come and gone, you know, at the time they fit, I was looking up to them as a leader and thought that's what a leader was supposed to be. And then as I kind of grew and caught up a little bit, I'm like, you know what? I like this about them, but here's some things that I don't really like. And I think I've moved on from them kind of being the person I look to.
And that's okay. You take away what you need and you move on. That's all. Yeah,
I think so. And then I think what is really important as well is realizing that you can learn from anybody. It could be some reports to you. It could be someone who is an intern. It could be someone that you've met as a new friend. You know, I have a team member who I've become really close friends with, and you know, she amazes me all the time with, you know, how she learns and grows and the way she sees things. And I love listening to her perspective because then it gives me something to add to mine that, you know, I want to think differently and learn from other people. So I think we need to have a more mindset like that. Like it doesn't have to be someone that I report to or someone above me to
Definitely
be
not.
Someone that I want to learn from. So, you know, I've had friends and colleagues that are still very important. And my current leader now is kind of become, it's kind of come full circle. After my divorce and I eventually refound my first ever boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So we've known each other for 22 years. Mm-hmm. And he's very, very supportive, wants me to shoot for the stars, achieve everything that I want to achieve. And he's fully supportive of that. It was a lot easier to be able to focus on that, having someone that supportive.
Sure.
I wasn't used to, I'm used to it now. But I wasn't used to it at the time. And so then I spent a lot of time in my career thinking like, what am I doing with myself? I don't know what I stand for. And I've worked in places that made me feel inadequate. And really that was a reflection on them, not me, even though I was growing and still learning at the time, I just wasn't in the right places. And at the time I felt like I was doing something wrong. Now I realized, you know, there are so many places that I could work, hundreds of workplaces. it makes no sense that I'm going to align with every single one of those places.
Exactly.
Even at different times, because teams change, leadership change, HR teams change. So that took me some time to figure out. And it really took finding my current workplace to be able to reflect back on all of that, to figure it all out. And Hyundai's been the place that is the right fit for me. I've been able to have huge impact. I've been able to speak my mind with a team of male executives, and they're so supportive, and I love working with them, and they all, and including my boss, instill a lot of, they're very confident in my abilities, which makes me feel very confident about myself.
Absolutely.
And so once I got to that place, I was able to kind of have this sweet release of, okay, I'm in such a great place. I get to do really great things, and I work with really great people, and there's challenges along the way, of course, but that's when I was able to reflect back and figure out, okay, I wasn't making big mistakes all along here. It was making, you know, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but I learned exactly how to, what I needed to do to get where I needed to be.
Exactly. They were stepping stones. And you, and like the people that you surround yourself with and the jobs you had earlier, it doesn't have to be positive. It just has to be an experience that you're willing to look at, even if to say, I don't want this. This doesn't fit or feel good. Or I don't appreciate what that person stands for or what their ethics are. It doesn't have to just be something that you take that's amazing. Although, isn't that wonderful when you can? Mm-hmm. It's just as important to have those moments and that exposure to the things that don't fit and don't make us feel like we want to be there, because then how else do we measure or better understand which direction to face or what to be looking for, and who we are?
And that's exactly how one of my previous mentors, who had been a leader, became not a mentor for me anymore. I had sought some advice about my career path. I had worked at two companies for very short periods of time. But I knew very quickly they weren't right for me. You know, some people will stick it out longer, but I just knew this isn't good for my mental health. It's not good for my career. You know, so I had to put myself back out there, which was scary. But getting, you know, asking some advice from mentors, I was told, you know, you need to stick it out for your resume. And I'm like, but what about me? Like, what about my resume is a piece of paper.
I'm exactly. Like,
what about me?
You can explain yourself all day. What you can't explain is that was a rotten job and I stayed. I mean, I personally, if I were interviewing you, I'd be like, what's wrong? I'd be like thinking, what's wrong with this person?
Right.
Because will they speak up on my team when something's not going well? Or will I have the confidence to know that they're going to want to fix and correct if there's an issue? I mean, that's how I would look at it. But I mean, you know.
No, and I think that too, like, you know, you're told when you interview, you know, don't bash your previous workplace. That makes complete sense.
You don't have to.
There are ways of explaining why you no longer want to work at a place. It didn't, you know, their values didn't align with yours. You were told one thing and it turned out to be something different.
Why am I divorced? Because we didn't have the right chemistry and we didn't get on the way that people should. And I value, marriage. So I think that he deserves it. And so do I.
Yeah. And my ex is married to somebody else.
Right. You don't have to say a negative thing at all. Right.
Exactly. It didn't work. I hope he's happy.
Right.
It's the same with workplaces.
That's
And I think we should value people who are, you know, willing to be able to make the right decisions for themselves and not just write them off quickly in an interview or on a resume that, oh, this person left very quickly.
That's right. Lydia, this is truth versus good.
Yes. We talked about that. It's better to be truthful than necessarily be good. And so, and I think recruiting as a field is changing too. So I think more recruiters are more tolerant of that now than they were 10 years ago. So that's a good thing to see, that the whole field changing to that kind of mindset. Once I realized, when I got that advice from that mentor, I'm like, I don't think I agree. And that was kind of the last time that I was like, I don't think you're on my mentor list anymore. I think
totally
it's okay
fine.
For us to just move on from each other.
Like I said, you take what you need to, right? And they always say, you know, people kind of come in and out of your life for reasons momentarily, what have you. And that's just what that is. That's exactly mm-hmm. what that is. And, you know, we're grateful for it because, again, each little bit is a morsel we get to hold on to or that helps shape us. And that's, after all, every bit of what we're doing here, just trying to keep shaping ourselves and get smooth out our own edges and become more of who it is that we want to be and what makes sense. And I love that. And I love that you continue to morph, and that you see your life as that continuation, and that there isn't an end, because you have two little girls. And how cool is it that you're their mom, and you get to be this incredible influence on them? And I don't know. I just think that bravo that they have you, because you have so much to offer and to model for them. And you had two generations before you modeling for you. So, I mean, that's beautiful. We need more of that.
you're too kind. I feel like I was destined to be mom of two girls.
Yeah.
Fortunately or unfortunately for them, I will see how it pans out.
Well, you're empowering women, so how brilliant that they get to witness that.
I think the biggest thing, and the way that you empower women is the same way you can empower anybody. Yeah. It doesn't just mean it's for women. I just want to make sure I'm an advocate in an industry for women that I work in. But you know, we need to, when we find the right place to work, we feel like we're getting to live our passion. We need to, anybody can be an advocate for other women. And one of the questions I asked myself, and it was in the last cohort of the Assemble Network where we met originally. And the question that we asked one of the women was, you know, if you don't do it, and it was about speaking up on her behalf for her employer, who else is going to do it? So if you just sit back and expect things to change, you know, nothing's going to change if you don't do anything.
You have to be a participant.
Yeah,
for sure.
And so you have to be okay that, you know, it can be you to be the one to stand up and change, as long as you feel safe. I'm lucky. I feel so safe at Hyundai. I've probably even pushed the boundaries of what I've, you know, things that I have spoken up about. My manager is so great.
That's awesome.
He's so kind and so caring, and I learned so much from him. But if no one else, you know, if it's on my mind and I care about it, if I don't say anything, maybe nobody else will. And maybe something I have to say will make some positive change with the people even above me who can have even stronger influence with the organization. And I think it's worked.
Yeah, no, I think that's beautiful. And that is the whole point, right? Mm-hmm. Is to have a voice, to be able to collaborate, to be able to share, and to be able to shape whatever it is that you see or feel and have a vision for. And it doesn't have to just be, you know, whatever your first idea is. And the things generally never are, but it's a negotiation and it's a collaboration. And I think that's the whole point of lifting people, because we're all navigating that.
Show others by example.
100%.
You know, show others, you know, we have a really great president at Hyundai. I worked with him previously at Mazda, and he's very open door. You can really go in and talk to him about anything, work, personal, and he'll make the time for you. But so other people in the organization were still afraid to reach out to him, which is understandable. You know, you just come into a workplace. We've only got 240 people, and you're like, you can go and, you know, you're 20 years old, you can go into the president's office if you want. They're not going to go do it. They're still scared.
But you know, that's a testament to the fact that it doesn't happen often enough, that it's not real often enough.
Yes.
Because people still have this knowing that they could never have done that in other places. Right. Yeah.
Or it's, you know, somewhat generational when your parents are preparing you for the workplace. True. I feel like that
messages.
And I think we need, like, even like, getting financial advice from you can't go necessarily with what your parents are going to say, because you're in a new generation. You know, you're not going to pay off your house as fast as your parents paid off your house.
Unlikely.
So get a different type of financial advisor than your parents had, because it's different rules now. But it's the same for work. So they show up, they have these expectations, just like I had expectations for what I needed to do, get a job, get married, all that stuff.
Right.
So you have to show them that. You know, watch me go into his office and this is what I said to him, and this is the outcome. You can do it too. So
it's great.
That really helps.
You're encouraging everyone at the company. I love that. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I'm so happy that things fell into place. I know for sure that, or I have no doubt, I should say, that the people around you are happy to have you nearby because you are a ray of sunshine as well as strength.
Thank you.
You are. I know you are. And, you know, I'm just so glad that, again, we were able to share, you know, your voyage, your story with the listeners. Because, again, I really think we're going to encourage a lot of women to think twice, you know, on all levels, management levels, as well as those who might feel stuck in any situation in their life, you know, personally or professionally. I think it's going to leave a lot of people with some food for thought. So thank you for doing that.
Okay, I just want to give one little tiny story. When I did my keynote, my company was so great. We do these learning sessions every Friday morning. So one of them was me practicing my keynote. And what I was not prepared for was the amount of feedback I got from all the men at the office and how, and that's what I, you know, when I mean, when I say before, and I mean that you can, your, the advice to help uplift women or empower women is the same for everybody, which I know, but to get the response I did from them was just really, it really felt really good. And even the fact that some people were saying, who've been in the industry for many, many years, you know, are looking back now on their career with now my, the outlook that I have of, well, wow, what if I had done this? Or what if I had made this change at this time? Or, you know, maybe I stuck it out too long at this company because of the sake of my resume. And what if I had just been like you and did what was right for me? I'm like, wow. It kind of just struck me.
You empowered them just to think differently, even if they obviously can't go back and change it, but they're thinking differently. They're reflecting differently. And life is this constant reflection. Like, how cool is that? Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Well done. I'm so happy for you. I am. I'm so happy. I'm glad we got to talk today.
Same
and
here.
It was brilliant. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is so great.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.